the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science.
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to journey number 139 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring What Price Convenience by Christopher Monroe and A Slight Delay by Rish Outfield. I am your guide, Marshall Latham, coming to you from a remote location in Richmond, California, in the Bay Area, just north of San Francisco. I'm here on business, had meetings over the last few days, and this afternoon we had the opportunity to go enjoy the area a little bit. I'm out here at Point Pinole Regional Shoreline. There's a bunch of trails out here, so I decided to stop at a park bench here and record an episode. This is the first actual journey that I've recorded for a while. We've had some delusions of grandeur. We've had some announcements from base camp, but this is the first journey that we've gone on since Christmas time, I believe. I've had these stories to be produced for quite a long time, and finally asked the help of Bria Burton to produce these episodes and get them out here on the airwaves. Big thanks to Bria Burton for producing these episodes. These are both pretty short stories, so I thought that'd be a good opportunity for a doubleheader type episode. And way back when I first started the podcast, Christopher Monroe sent me several stories as submissions, I guess, to the podcast. And I'm sure he's long forgotten about this story and other stories that he sent me. But I've always liked this story. I've always wanted to get it out here on the podcast. It's a fun little tale. And then afterwards, I can talk to you about the history and what I thought of these stories. Come with me, and let's journey into convenience.
What Price Convenience by Christopher Monroe. Ironically enough, it's the only place in my neighborhood left where there's still a lineup, which, from outside, would surprise passers-by very much. It looks like very little, after all. The storefront's unadorned, without even a sign proclaiming the shop's name to tell you you're at the right place. Just a small, now open, card placed in its window. And once you're inside, things are a little better. There isn't a decor as such, nor are there shelves displaying products for purchase the way you'd expect from any place of business. None of the trappings of a suburban mart can be found here. In fact, the place is simply a waiting area where a lineup stretches wall to wall, separated into sections by a velvet dividing cord as it winds back and forth like the body of some great snake. Weekends, the lineup stretches past the store's front door and out into the street, but if you come in on a Wednesday, in the afternoon, as I have, you shouldn't have to wait more than an hour or two. You can, in theory, pay not to have to wait in line, but purchasing that privilege would obviously involve waiting in the line, and not many people visit the store more than a few times, so not many people think it's worth the extra expense. I know I don't. I've only been here twice since the place opened 6 months ago, and both times on days where I have nothing else planned. I have my headphones in, an audiobook playing, and nowhere to be for the rest of the day. Under circumstances like that, I don't mind waiting at all. It's under all other circumstances where waiting starts to bug me. The audiobook comes to the end of its chapter as I approach the front of the line, and I absentmindedly wonder if it's part of the service or merely a coincidence as I take the earbuds out, roll them around the body of my iPod, and stuff both back into my bag. For the first time, I can hear the people around me, the shuffling of feet, muttered conversations, and occasional laughter that punctuate the line as it slowly winds its way forward. I've been waiting for more than 2 hours now. I won't wait much longer. Two more people, then me. The woman at the front of the line pays for her purchase and, grinning, makes her way out of the store and back into the street. It's the gentleman in front of me next, and then my turn.
Hi.
The gentleman says to the white-haired, bearded man sitting behind the cash register at the desk at the head of the line.
I'm a new customer. I'm not sure how this works. Should I just...
It's really easy.
The man behind the desk tells him, smiling.
Just tell me what you need to make your life a little easier, and I'll quote you an estimate. No obligation. You can decide once you know what it'll cost, if it's worth the price or not.
Great. Well, it's like this. My wife is pregnant. Very pregnant. I want to be there with her for the birth, but my work is sending me out of town for 2 weeks, and there's no way I can get out of it. I was wondering if there were some way for you people to make sure she doesn't go into labor until I get back?
The older, seated man thinks for a moment, then pulls out a pad of paper, scrawls something on the top sheet, folds it over, and hands it to his customer. The cost. The man ahead of me lets out a little cough as he reads what's printed on the paper, then looks up from it to the cashier, who's still just smiling serenely back at him.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yes,
the older man replies.
But it's a big job, and our rates are non-negotiable. If you don't want to pay...
No, of course I'll pay. I just hadn't expected...
You'll pay? Well, excellent. Then I'll get things working for you immediately, sir, and enjoy your trip.
The older man's still smiling, but it's clear the conversation is over between the two of them. I'm sure he doesn't mean to be rude, but he's right. The lineup's very long, and he has little time for non-business-related chatter. As the next person in line, I appreciate this, even if the younger man does not. His shoulders slump at the thought of whatever he's going to lose for this favor, and he shuffles, sadness in his step, out of the store. Which brings me to the front of the line. I've done this before, fortunately, and am better prepared. "Hello," I tell the older man. "I want to not miss trains anymore. I'd like for them to arrive at the station the same time I do, regardless of when I get there, so I never have to watch them pulling away, and I never have to wait for them to arrive. I'd like for this to be a trade of mine, starting now and continuing for the rest of my life. What would something like that cost me?" The older man smiles, relieved that I'd asked for something so comparatively simple, then takes his pad, writes his note, and hands it to me. "Your ability to drive a car," it reads. I already can't drive. I never thought to learn how. I've lived in cities with train systems my whole life. Does that change anything?
Oh?
He tells me, music in his voice.
Well, then, it will be an easy price for you to pay, since that doesn't affect a thing. Though I will warn you, if you agree to this, you will never be able to learn how to drive. However hard you try, you'll never quite get the hang of it. But if you never plan on learning...
"I don't," I cut him off, unable to suppress my grin. "I never plan on learning, so you're right. This is an easy one. Make it happen. I'll pay for it gladly."
"Glad to hear it. Now, if you'll excuse me..."
He motions to the lineup behind me. "Oh, of course. I apologize." I'm already making my way out of the store as I say it. The people behind me, after all, deserve the same consideration from me that I'd expected from the people in front of me. Outside, in front of the store, my mood turns giddy. I've shaved 15 to 20 minutes off my workday, which over the course of my life will add up to hundreds of hours worth of extra free time that I can enjoy in whatever way I please, and I've done it all at the expense of an ability I've never done anything with anyway. My trip had been a resounding success, and I'm in an amazing mood, whistling a jaunty tune as I make my way down the street. A few blocks away, I see the guy who'd been ahead of me in line, sitting on the curb, head in his hands. Buyer's remorse? Perhaps. But he made his choice, and my good mood is impenetrable. I fairly skip the rest of the way back to my apartment. And as I arrive home, I stop to reflect on just how successful the place had gotten in such a short time, even with no advertising other than word of mouth. It seemed natural as it was happening, but perhaps I should have been more surprised. After all, I'm given to understand the economy these days isn't in the best shape. It's not exactly the perfect atmosphere in which to launch a new small business, 500-year-old sorcerer or not. This has not, however, stopped the newly opened convenience store from enjoying a massive success.
So there you go. There's Christopher Monroe's story, What Price Convenience. It's a fun little story. You know, it makes you wonder, what would be most convenient for you and what would you be willing to give up in order to achieve that convenience? It'd be interesting if something like this actually existed, where you could kind of trade in these different conveniences. A lot of fun. I've always liked that story. I guess the cast list for that story, you probably recognize a couple of the voices on there. This was narrated by James Silverstein. I'm actually working together right now with James in the Onder Librem Audiographers group. I've gotten to know him a little bit better. He's a friend of Dave Robeson's, and he recorded this for me a very long time ago. And actually, the other members of the cast, Big Anklevich, who played the guy up ahead of line, who is in front of the man standing in line, who wanted his wife not to give birth to their baby until he was back from his business trip. That was played by Big Anklevich. And of course, Rich Outfield was the old man behind the counter. We got together to record that a very long time ago, almost 2 years ago now, since we recorded those lines. It was one of those business trips that I took where I was near where Big and Rich are at. And I was able to get with them. I think we recorded that in my hotel room. And we also recorded the lines for A Slight Delay, which is coming up next. And so both of these stories were recorded with Big and Rish at the same time, the same session, I guess you'd call it. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. I appreciate James lending his voice. He's finally able to hear the production of the story that he narrated for me probably 2 years ago as well. And James also lent his voice to the Ken Scholes story, If Dragons Mass Eve Be Cold and Clear, which you didn't hear this Christmas season, which you will hear at the end of this year. So he hasn't had a good luck with me getting his narrations out in a timely fashion. So sorry about that, James. Let's move on to our next story here, which is A Slight Delay by Rish Outfield. So come with me and let's journey onto the tarmac.
A Slight Delay by Rish Outfield. The plane wasn't moving. I think the engines had stopped. That couldn't be good. Couldn't be normal. I was now suspecting this was more than just a slight delay, as the captain had declared it. I sat on the airplane, uncomfortable in my business class seat, even though I'd called my wife to brag when we first took off how much more leg room it gave me. Now the seat was too stiff. I felt boxed in and could no longer even attempt to read my book. We had landed over 30 minutes ago, but hadn't gotten off the tarmac or pulled up to a terminal, docking or whatever you called it. Nothing could be seen out the windows in either direction, just night and lights and the occasional airplane taking off in the distance. The last time someone had gone from one window to the other, a man told us he was the air marshal, and that we were to stay seated until he said otherwise. He was a hefty, middle-aged man with a Mario Brothers mustache, and I joked around with him when we first boarded, but now I eyed him and his firearm with suspicion, like he could be my enemy. That didn't make sense. These air marshals were there to protect us, or at least make us feel reassured, but he wasn't talking. And that only made the wait all the more unpleasant. My theory had initially been that something had happened to another aircraft, and we were waiting for it to be taken care of. But now, I didn't know what to think. The captain had gotten on the horn 4 times now, the first 2 times to tell us there would be a slight delay deplaning, the second 2 saying it wouldn't be much longer. The man in the seat next to me was worrying about missing his connecting flight, and kept mumbling,
I always fly TWA.
He was tense, agitated, a bit of a sweat on his brow and his neck, and it was making everyone in the whole section fidget. I wished he had flown TWA today, too. Behind us, in coach, I could hear a baby crying. It had been going on forever now. Were there no parents back there? It made me more antsy than the TWA guy. Nobody in business class knew what was going on with the plane, and we had been told to stay off our cell phones, remain seated, and watch the televisions in the seats in front of us. That had worked for a few minutes, but one by one, the passengers started to realize something was wrong. There was a sense of anxiety all around me.
Sir, please put that away,
the air marshal said to me. I looked at him in puzzlement, but the man beside me had his cell phone out and had obviously dialed it.
Look, I have to catch my connection to St. Louis,
he told the marshal.
I'm aware of that, sir.
Some lady behind me muttered,
I think we're all aware of it, weirdo.
That made several of us snort. The TWA guy raised his phone to his cheek.
Just let me check to see if...
The air marshal actually put his hand on the butt of his pistol and said,
Everybody needs to stay off their phones for just a little while longer.
The nervous man closed his phone, set it noisily on his tray table, then cursed the airline we had all taken. A flight attendant stepped through the curtains, gave a cursory smile to the front row, then approached the air marshal. She whispered something to him. I was too far back to hear their conversation, but it sounded like she said, funny suit in there. He shook his head in some kind of disbelief. He turned to address us, clearing his throat.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bria has just told me that there's been an incident, and that someone is coming on board to take care of it. I'm gonna, need everybody to sit quietly and not to be alarmed when they enter our section.
Suddenly, I was closer to being alarmed.
Who? Who's coming on board?
A woman asked. The marshal wiped his hands on his pants and inhaled.
This is going to be a little strange,
he said.
But everyone needs to remain calm. Look at the TV or read your in-flight magazine. Put your headphones on. Listen to something relaxing. Do not look them in the eye. You understand? Do not look directly at them.
At who? I asked. But I was ignored. A moment later, we all found out. Three men, dressed in bunny suits, entered business class. They were big, fluffy children's Easter parade rabbit suits. One pink, one yellow, and one was baby blue. They had inane, happy faces on their heads. But the way the men moved through the plane disturbed me. It was as though I was looking at angry, feral bunnies, perhaps rabid ones. Or rabid people stuffed inside bunny costumes, that was. Two of the costumed men went back to coach, but one, the blue one, moved awkwardly down our aisle, looking each of us in the face. As soon as it approached, I began to study my fingernails, adjusting my wedding ring. It was insane, but I was somehow afraid of him. The bunny didn't say a word, but it paused at our row. I took a brief look. It was focused on the man beside me, then slowly raised its hand/paw and pointed at him. The sky marshal was immediately by my side.
Sir, can you come with me, please?
I made sure he wasn't talking to me, but at my neighbor.
What is this?
TWA asked, even twitchier than before.
What's going on?
Sir,
the marshal said, not messing around.
No, wait,
he stammered.
Who is this guy? What's happening?
I'll explain it to you in a moment. Just follow me, please.
The nervous man stood, muttering.
I haven't done anything wrong,
he said to the first rabbit. Then swallowed and said it to me.
I haven't done anything wrong.
I looked at my hands again. I didn't know this guy. The sky marshal escorted the passenger up the aisle and through the curtains into first class. The bunny still stood by our row, like an animatronic character that had been unplugged. I could smell cotton candy, and I was pretty sure it was coming from the suit. I glanced up and looked down again when I saw its big dead eyes. A stuffed rabbit was more cheery, more alive. A moment later, it turned and walked up the aisle. It stopped before the pretty Hispanic lady I had been admiring when we first seated. She noticed it watching her.
No,
she said quietly. She knew what was happening, or knew more than I did. The bunny's right hand shot up, pointing at her.
No, not me, don't take me, please,
she cried. The flight attendant took one arm, and the bunny took the other, and they physically dragged her out of her seat and away from us. She was full on crying now, begging them to pick somebody else. Unlike the pretty lady, I had no idea what was going on. Less than a minute later, her cries were gone, and I realized I couldn't hear the baby back in coach anymore. No one around us said anything, but all concentrated on their laps or prayed. The flight attendant and the air marshal came back in and sat in their seats by the restrooms. They said nothing else, and everyone around me was still, not rising, not asking questions, not commenting.
"This is your captain speaking,"
a familiar voice came over the intercom.
"Everything is fine now, and we appreciate your patience. I've been given the go-ahead to taxi to Terminal 4, and everyone can be on their way. We apologize for the delay."
"Yes, sorry about that,"
the flight attendant said, cursorily smiling, but not with her eyes.
"Please remain seated and belted in until the removed seatbelt lights are illuminated."
"We apologize for the delay,"
the air marshal whispered. The plane began to slowly move forward. The end.
So there you go, there's a slight delay. And once again in the cast list is Rish Outfield as the neurotic TWA passenger and Big Anglovich as the narrator. And I was also in the cast there as the air marshal. Get it? Marshal, the air marshal. We also had Renee Chambliss in there as one of the passengers. So also in the cast, we had Bria Burton, who played the stewardess, aptly named Bria. And she also played the part of the Hispanic woman who was escorted off the plane. And it's interesting that, you know, for so long I held out on the production of this episode because I wanted to get an authentic Hispanic person to read this line. You wouldn't think that would be a hard thing to do, but I don't know, you know, anybody. When I was in Coeur d'Alene, I knew several people that were Hispanic that could read that for me. But here in Oregon, I don't know that many people that would have an authentic Hispanic accent. And I asked around. I think I got on Facebook and things like that. Eventually, I just left it up to Bria. She actually said she had a friend that was going to do it for her, but then she got stage fright and didn't want to have her voice recorded. So Bria actually read those lines, and I thought it sounded great, and she did a good job. Kind of makes me feel foolish for waiting so long to get that part done for this and to produce this episode. But anyway, it's out here now, so hopefully you enjoy that. This story by Rish has a fun history to it. And I think it was, you know, a couple years ago or maybe even 3 years ago on one of the Doonstief Halloween marathon episodes where they were talking about fears. One of their fears was a pandemic where people were getting sick and there was infections going on worldwide and how could you keep yourself safe and those kinds of things. That was one of their fears. And so I related a story that a few years ago when there was the H1N1 flu virus that was going around and a lot of people were getting sick and there were restrictions on flights and things like that. Well, it just happened to be that at that time I needed to travel overseas to China for a project that I was working on. On four different occasions, I flew over to China. So from Oregon, we flew out of Portland and then landed in Tokyo. And then from there, took another plane over to Shanghai. And so one of those times, right at the height of the H1N1 scare or whatever, we landed at the airport in Tokyo and we were told to wait in our seats and that people would be coming by to check our temperatures for a fever or any signs of H1N1. And so it was a really surreal experience because we were just sitting there waiting and then there was this, I don't know if it was like disinfection, something started flowing through the air vents and it was kind of a mist and you could see it coming out. So I don't know if it was like antiseptic spray or mist or what it was. So that started to happen. And then these men, I guess they could have been women, these people came onto the plane wearing full clean room suits. You know, they had the
the whole thing, you know, all around their body, their gowns or whatever that they wear. And they call them bunny suits as a nickname or whatever. So they came in these not quite hazmat suits, but like clean room suits and masks over their faces, and just their eyes were showing. And they came on the airplane and they went through and took everybody's temperature. They had these, I don't know if they're laser or what kind of thermometers, but they just aim it at your forehead and they get a reading of your temperature. They don't have to put it in your ear or anything like that, but they just aim it at you, at your forehead. So they came through the plane and they did this to everybody, and then they left. I think, I might be remembering it wrong now after listening to this story, but I think there was somebody that had to leave. Yeah, there was. There was one guy that had to get off the plane with these people, I guess, to be checked out further because he might have had a fever or temperature, high temperature or something like that. But anyway, so there was one person that left the plane, and it was just a really strange experience. It was like something out of a movie or a dream or something. Just very odd. You know, nothing I'd experienced before. Anyway, so on the Dunesty forums, I related that experience of these people in bunny suits coming, and of course, somebody posted a picture in there about, oh, you mean like this? And it was, you know, one of those Easter Bunny costumes, somebody coming in a bunny suit, and so that was pretty funny. And then Rish caught on to that, thought that was hilarious, and so he wrote this story, A Slight Delay, pretty quickly, within an hour or so or whatever, and posted it on the forums in that same thread, that same conversation. I thought it was hilarious. It was just a funny take on my experience. So I claimed the right at that point to produce this episode for the Journey Into podcast. And now I have, or actually I should say now Bria has produced it here for the podcast. So again, big thanks to Rish for writing this story based on my experience, the twist, of course. And then thanks to Bria for producing this and all the people that lent their voices to it. It's good to finally get these stories out here for you to enjoy. So yeah, as I mentioned on the announcements from Base Camp, this will be my last journey for a little while, till October, where we start doing Edgar Allan Poe Month again. But as I said in the announcements, I will be probably putting up some Strewn Along the Path episodes with just me blabbering on about my life or something I want to talk about. And then we'll have some Delusions of Grandeurs with Rish Outfield and I talking about Star Wars coming up as well throughout this hiatus period. So hopefully there'll be enough there to keep you going and for you to enjoy during this time. But I hope you have a great spring and a great summer. And I'll catch you here back in the fall for our next journey. Be sure to check out the guidelines for the Journey Into Writing Contest that is starting or has started on April 1st. And you have from April 1st to May 1st to enter your Journey Into story. Check out the guidelines for that. And I hope to get a lot of submitters to that. And some people have already agreed to be judges for that contest. So until next time, stay safe out there and journey on.
Well, well, well. This is fake Sean Connery from the truly awful podcast that dares not speak its name.
Hey!
And I've come before you to tell you a thing or two. First, bald is beautiful. Second, the Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Third, there is only one James Bond, and his name isn't Daniel Craig. Fourth, you cannot change the Journey Into podcast files, nor sell them, but you are welcome to share them and play them over and over again until your ears look like George Lazenby's nose. Fifth, be kind to your pets, or they will eat you when you die. And last, the Journey Into theme music has been provided by Man in Space. Have a good day, and never bring a knife to a gunfight. Thank you.